This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Amanda Vanstone. This is Radio National's Counterpoint. Did you know your security cameras and your smart fridge can be corralled and used in a cyber attack on others? Anything in your house with a computer. Time to upgrade your security, yes, but the targets aren't you. You're just being used to disrupt Amazon or power supply. Free speech is fabulous, out there, open, we all know about it. Cyber attacks, they are the reverse. We keep hearing different stories about warfare, don't we? That it's going to be new, high-tech stuff. And then we look at what's happening in Ukraine and we think, wow, that's a lot of street fighting going on there as well. Tractors stealing tanks. The truth is, as it always is, more complicated than that. And there is some very high-tech stuff coming. Cybersecurity is really important. And Russia's ongoing cyber attacks in the Ukraine might just be an indication of what we can expect generally about the future of cyber warfare. Now, as you know, I'm not a specialist in that, so let's talk to one. We're going to talk to Stuart Madnick. He's Professor of Information Technologies, Professor of Engineering, and Director of Cybersecurity at MIT. And he joins us now from the United States. Stuart Madnick, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, Stuart, what's the short form of the story you want to convey?
Well, unfortunately, there is no really short form, but there's several factors. One is the fact that cyber warfare has only emerged recently. I always like to precede things by pointing out that there was a time for those of us who were around in the 1960s and 70s, the possibility of a nuclear war that would devastate most of the planet was definitely on people's minds. We luckily made it through that period more or less intact. So what I'm going to talk about is not necessarily what will happen, but what could happen and how devastating it could be.
Indeed. Well, in your article, I was fascinated because you talked about an event that has happened that gives an indication of what could happen. This was the one in 2013 when you say smart refrigerators were made part of a botnet and used to attack business. How does that happen?
Well, the thing to realize, and this is why it's very important, hopefully, for your listeners to understand this, we often think of cybersecurity as being something that someone else is going to worry about. And we don't realize that all of us are both potentially victims, but also participants in it. In the particular case you're referring to in 2013, first, you got to realize that almost every device today now has a computer in it. Now, that's not quite there yet, but we're getting there. So it turns out there are refrigerators that have computers in them. So you can basically be in the supermarket and see what's inside your refrigerator and realize you need some more milk and need some more eggs. In fact, I recently bought a toothbrush that has a computer in it, and it sends messages to your smartphone to tell you how well you're brushing your teeth. So the point there was that if there's a computer and the computer is connected to the internet, which they almost always are, then it's always possible for a hacker to get into your refrigerator, into your toothbrush. The most common thing, by the way, many, many cyber attacks were launched through attacks on home security cameras. According to one study, 50% of all home security cameras have the default password on it, which makes it easy for a hacker to break into your smart camera and then, you know, either see what's going on there or cause your smart camera to then become a participant in a cyber attack.
You mentioned in 2015, after the Russian invasion of the Crimean Peninsula, Russian hackers managed to knock out electric power for nearly 250,000 customers in Western Ukraine. Now, that's devastating for a block of people to be without power for an extended period of time.
Well, the thing to realize, of course, is almost everything, and in this case, particularly energy grids, are heavily computerized. So if someone can break into the network, they can make the network do all kinds of things. In this case here, they cause it to shut off the power, as you said, to 250,000 people. But it could have been much worse.
How much worse?
Well, in that case, all they really did is cause the relays to shut off, a little bit like going down to your fuse box in your home and flipping off the circuit breakers. And so all people needed to do was basically turn the circuit breakers on. Now, once again, the electric grid is much more complicated than your fuse box, if you will, at home. So it takes time to do that. But what we have shown in our research and others have done is it turns out you can actually make some of the equipment explode. So if the circuit board explodes, it's not a matter of flicking a switch. You got to replace the circuit board.
Yeah, sure.
And that's not a quick job.
No. And well, if it's one in a large institution where the circuit board is not small, or if it's widespread across houses and stuff like that. Now, what's the 2017 attack of the malware that's been called NotPetya?
Well, this was an attack that basically hit hundreds of thousands of computers around the world. I would be surprised if some in Australia didn't get hit as well. There's several things about it. I'll try to do it in a somewhat organized manner. It basically is what I call collateral damage. What we believe it was a cyber attack, most likely from Russia. We can talk about why it's difficult to know anything for certainty, but most likely from Russia targeting Ukraine, which, as you know, is having a lot of animosity there. But sure. Apparently what happened is any international company that was also operating in Ukraine got that virus as well. And those international companies were connected to their corporate network, and it went across the corporate network around the world. So we believe the original intended target was just Ukraine, but it leaked out, much like if you have a human virus. And once it's in the air, it's hard to tell where it's going to go.
Yeah, well, when you mentioned some of the companies involved, okay, Global Shipping, Maersk, that might take some time, and the pharmaceutical giant Merck, that might take some time. But then when you talk about FedEx's European subsidiary, TNT Express, well, I mean, that's parcels going everywhere every day, so they would have offices all over the place, everywhere.
Exactly.
No, Rapid spread.
That's why cyber war is much like nuclear war, is very dangerous because the fallout, in some sense, depending on which way the wind is blowing, could go anywhere. And quite likely, a cyber warfare has the same problem. You may have an intended targets, but once you start launching it, it's hard to know exactly where it's going to go.
Yeah. You're on RN. This is Counterpoint. I'm Amanda Vanstone. I'm talking with Stuart Madnick. Oh, he's got some spooky news about cyber attacks and how we need to get ready, you know? We can be attacked from the air with bombs and missiles, but I tell you what, they get into the computer system and the damage can be worse. Stuart, we've been talking about common day things we all understand, you know, having your power board go, your refrigerator used, your cameras and stuff like that. But you talk about the Stuxnet cyber attack that had some damaging effects in Iran. What's the story there? I mean, that's a bit more frightening to me.
Well, this goes back a ways. As you may know, there's been a lot of controversy regarding the uranium enrichment program going on in Iran. No one has taken claim for it, but the general wisdom is it's some combination of the United States and Israel developed a computer virus that managed to get into that enrichment facility. And within the facility, it had these centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium. And apparently it was able to destroy 1,000 of them, not stop 1,000, cause them to self-destruct. Basically, it got them into a certain frequency where basically shook themselves to pieces.
Gee, it's a frightening thing, isn't it?
Fortunately, that's all self-contained within that one building facility. If you start turning things like that loose around the world, then it gets really scary.
Mm. Well, we've been talking so far, Stuart, about indirect attacks, you know, getting onto the power grid, supply chains, banking systems, water treatment communications, stuff like that. And we all understand that. But what about direct attacks?
Just let me pause for a second and point out both of them are important because although these, what I call direct attacks, indirect attacks may be targeting the electric grid or the water treatment, they, of course, affect us personally because when your lights go off or your water doesn't come out of the faucet, that is an effect upon us. So even if we individually are not the intended targets, we have consequence of that.
Yeah, we get caught up in the net.
Exactly. But then again, there could be viruses that maybe not seeking us individually, but basically are indiscriminate in that they will try to get into your home computer. And so for those things, you've got to basically be prepared for that possibility. And they could do all kinds of mischief. They could go and erase all your data, all of your photos that may be the only place you've stored them, maybe on your computer or your smartphone. And so you really need to be cautious and really do what we call cyber hygiene, to make sure you've done things like make sure you have up-to-date software on your computers to make sure they're protecting you. Make sure that you're backing up your data so in case it's stolen or destroyed, you have another copy of it. So a lot of us are a bit lax about that. We don't even think about how important it is. And it doesn't have to be a cyber war. It just could be some mischief player in your neighborhood or in your city who just decides to go and cause a lot of havoc.
Stuart, I'm feeling guilty. I haven't had a backup in a while. I think I'll have to attend to that. Now, what about the direct things, though?
Well, one of the things that many of us do, but I'm not sure if all of us do, there are various what are called malware and virus protection software, software that basically looks for potential viruses getting onto your computer. Think of it, we talked about COVID earlier, a bit like a vaccine. And so you want to make sure your computer has been as vaccinated as much as possible to minimize the possibility of the virus getting onto your computer.
Now, we started off mentioning Ukraine because they've had a few goes there, which you think is, let's just call them generally enemies. It might be Russia, it might be someone else having a go. Are there things that are happening now you're aware of?
Well, as you know, every single day something is going on. In fact, there's so many stories going on that people published them on newspapers, there was nothing else in the newspapers to put ads on. So there's always things going on. But as far as new things going on, I think that is probably most problematic to us today is the fact that we're seeing an increasing amount of cyber being used in a more offensive manner. You know, the example being the attacks going on in the Ukraine. I have a hypothesis, and a totally unproven hypothesis, and that is that if you were a country, remember this is total speculation.
Yeah, sure.
But if you were a country like Iran or North Korea or any that basically doesn't get along very well with the U.S. and probably doesn't get along all that well necessarily with Russia, this would be a great time to launch a cyber attack because almost automatically it'll be blamed on Russia and you can go and do as much damage as you want to without anybody knowing you're doing it. And we've seen examples of countries being able to disguise themselves in a way so it looks like someone else is doing the cyber attack.
It's a dangerous world, isn't it? A very dangerous world. Reading your article and seeing what a business can do. I look at it and I think, well, okay, a big business, this isn't hard. I mean, even a smaller one can check their software's up to date, get the new antivirus and malware stuff, back up your data. That's easy. But then looking for vulnerabilities in your cyber supply chain, a lot of businesses, they'd have to get independent people in to do that. And certainly having an incident response plan. I mean, that's not something a big plumbing business, for example, could do on its own, is it? They're going to have consultants in to help do that.
Well, this is the big issue. Particularly, we've got small and medium enterprises, often called SMEs, because a lot of times the big companies, doesn't mean they're flawless. And of course, the bigger you are, the more likely you'll be a target. But the big companies have budgets they can use to help protect themselves. The smaller companies are much tougher. That's why I think the government needs to play an increasing amount of role. I won't quite call it a joke, but the thing I often say, if there were enemy planes flying over your buildings right now, dropping bombs on you, you would expect the Australian Air Force or the Missile Command to try to shoot them down. If enemies are doing that same kind of damage, but through a cyber attack, basically, you're on your own. I think we need to change that and really get the government much more involved in how to help protect us. Two last points, though. I think it's important to know how bad things can be so we can be prepared. But the good news is if we prepare ourselves, we can do a lot to minimize the damage.
Indeed. Stuart Madnick, thanks for joining us on Counterpoint.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And along the theme of warfare,